every strong hope shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every strong hope, shine through the shadows. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name. Shadows burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every strong hope, shine through shadows, burn like a fire. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every strong shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Give him glory, church. Give him glory. Oh, just speak the name of Jesus. Strongholds are falling in this place today. Strongholds are having to turn loose because of the name of Jesus. There is no other name by which we can be saved or spared or make it to heaven to see our Father. The name that is above every other name. Oh, Lord, strongholds must turn loose at the name of Jesus. Anything that is in your mind today that hinders you from being all He's called you to be, just speak Jesus over it. Anything that you're struggling with, just speak Jesus. And in faith, turn loose and look toward Him. Oh, let His will be done in your life. Rid yourselves of every care by casting them upon Him. Right now is your time to be free. Freedom is in this place. He wants you free from this world. He wants you to free from all disappointments, all pain, all grief, every concern. He wants your focus on Him and not on the things that you see here in the natural. So just focus on Him as we sing that again. And know that this name will change everything.
Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn.
Hallelujah. You are facing a new frontier. We as a body of believers are facing the new frontier. We're going somewhere we've never been before. We're going to see things we've never seen before. We are living in unprecedented times. And it calls for unprecedented people. Ask God, what is your next phase? We're approaching a new year. You know, if you look at the Hebrew calendar, we're on the new year. We're on the new year. But the Gregorian calendar says it's just a few months away. But I'm telling you, right now, today, there's something new for you. Something new for you. God has got something new. There's something fresh. The old has passed away and all things will be new. Our futures are going to be new. We're going to see things that you've only imagined about. New frontiers. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. I want to remind you that next Sunday is Pastor Appreciation Day, and we want to celebrate that with Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy. So don't forget to be here next Sunday, and we just want to make this an outstanding day for them. So send them a text message or pick up the phone, or if you still send cards, do that. But just let them know how much you appreciate them. Let them know how much you care and how much they mean to you. Life is short at best. So let's just make the most of what we have. Let's make life a life that we love to live. Let it be rich and full. And share with our pastors how much they mean and how much you appreciate them. Today, after we receive the offering, Pastor Gary is going to bring our message. But I want to just pray, and you can watch a video as we receive the offering. But I want you to just stand right now with me. Everybody stand. And commit yourself to a new level. Commit yourself to a new level. In every aspect of church, commit yourself to a new level. That's what I want you to offer this morning. More than money, more than finances, to commit to a new level. To dig deeper, to reach further, to do more. Let the coming year be something that you are anticipating God to use you greater than he's ever used you before. Let's pray. Father, right now, as we give of ourselves, accept our gift. Multiply it. Let it go far. Let it do greater things. And let us please you by our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
When those lids come off those boxes, you've never seen such pure joy.
This is amazing. As you can see, the children's faces, they are excited as they open up the gifts for the first time.
What makes the gifts more than just gifts is the message that comes with the gift.
This is the opportunity for a child to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The mission of Operation Christmas Child never changes. Children are coming to Jesus, and children are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Millions of children around the world are being impacted by these simple shoebox gifts. One box can touch not just the child, but the whole family. So we need to keep packing those boxes and pray for the children that God will use this in a very special way. So thank you for being a part of it. God bless you.
So today you can pick up your box in the foyer. We are starting that campaign, but we only have a few weeks, so we need you to grab those boxes, get them filled up. There's some great information, some ideas that we can really bless kids around the world. There's another video that they show about how much of a difference that these boxes are making. It starts with a simple box, but then there's families being saved and communities being reached because they don't just get a box of toys. They also hear the message of Jesus. When they get the box, they enter into a program where they get to hear and be discipled about Jesus. So it's a huge opportunity that we have. Sydney is at the back table. The day we have to have them back is November 20th. So that's only a few short weeks away. So grab those boxes and get them filled up. Today is a big day. We have our carnival from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Make sure you bring your kids, your neighbor's kids, your family's kids. They're going to have a great time. If you are here and you are not helping in a capacity and you don't have kids to take around, we really need just a couple more volunteers to help with our prize table and our greeting and things like that. So please see me after the service if you're available to help with that. Thank you so much for your candy donations and your support for our outreach to the community. Okay, Pastor Gary, at this time.
Well, it's awesome to be back up on the stage. It's been a while since I've been up here. I'm thankful that Pastor offered me the opportunity to come and speak today. And the title of my message is Timeless Truth for a Truthless Time. So I'm going to be a little interactive today. You know, I'm used to being in front of a bunch of kids, and I try to get them involved, try to get them engaged. Joel asked me about, I think it was on, what was it, the concert on Tuesday, Wednesday night, how did I feel about speaking this message? I said, I don't know, I'm a little bit nervous about it because I'm used to speaking to kids. Joel said, well, they're just like kids, they're just taller, right? So we're going to see how it goes. All right, so have you ever come home and while you were gone, your wife or your husband, your son, your daughter, maybe it was your friend on Facebook, whoever it was, while you were gone, they got a new haircut. And they ask you, hey, what do you think about my new haircut? Now inside, you're probably thinking, oh my goodness, what have you done? But what comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth? Hey, oh man, you look great. It looks good. You're going online, you're checking your Facebook, get likes, thumbs up, smiley, heart, all the stuff. You love it. For the record, I'm not a Facebooker, I'm not an Instagrammer, No social media, none of that stuff. I don't know. I just never cared for it. I'm really not that interesting. I don't think. I don't know. I just don't get into it. But my wife and my buddy at work, you know, he keeps me informed. They keep me up to speed on what's going on. And, you know, this very thing just happened to us just the other day. So we're laying there, and Miranda says, hey, you know what? So-and-so got a new haircut. And they pasted it on Facebook. And you know what? I'm thinking, I really don't care. I really don't care that he got a haircut. You know, I'm really not that interested. But I laid there for a little bit. And, you know, my curiosity got up. I said, all right, hey, let me see it. Let me see what he's working with here. So I took a look at it. You know, I said, yeah, you know what? Yeah, it looks pretty good. Anybody want to guess what followed that? You know, he took his wife's advice on that haircut. You know, you should take my advice. If I said, I want you to cut your hair some old sort of way, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't be willing to do it, right? So why do we say on Facebook or in person, you know, even if we think maybe that haircut wasn't the greatest choice, why do we say that, you know, it looks great? Well, it's because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, right? And we're sometimes afraid to tell them the truth. And there's some things like the haircut, like your, you know, your clothing style, things like that, that, you know, maybe they're really not that important. And they're subjective, so it doesn't really matter so much if you like it or not. If the person likes it, that, you know, that's okay, right? It's subjective. So, but there's some things that are not subjective, okay? There are some things that are always true, things that are undisputed, and these things would be biblical truths. So I've got a book right here, and I pretend like I'm in class because this is how we generally start out the class when it's teaching time. Pastor Miranda, I believe, does the same thing in her class. So we've got kids in here today, so I'm going to hold this book up. Let's see, is anybody paying attention? This row right here looks like they might be halfway paying attention. I don't know. But I'm going to hold this book up. Kids, tell me, what is this book? Okay, this book is the Bible. And the second thing we always say is everything in the Bible is, everything in the Bible is true, okay? So we've got to understand that this truth never changes. And the teachings and the words that come out of here are timeless. They surpass generations, and no matter what's happening in the world, they still hold true. So we like to say, you know, this kind of thing nowadays. So whatever makes me feel good, that's what's the best for me. You know, that's my truth today. Maybe tomorrow, maybe I'll have a different truth. And this thought process, you know, it's infecting our families. It's in our places of work. It's on TV. It's in politics. And it's even right here in the building. It's in the church. And why is that? Well, I feel like it's because there's power in division. And if we can't unite under what a common understanding of the truth is, then we can never come together. The enemy does not want us to be united. He doesn't want us to be focused on a single truth. He wants you to have your truth, me to have my truth, everybody have their own truth. So what do you get? You get black and white. You get boy or girl. You get both or neither. You get Democrat, Republican, oppressed, oppressor, slave, master, division, division, division. No one craves power and division more than Satan. So this relative truth, this thought that, you know, my truth is my truth, that's not a new thing. It shows up in the Bible. And if you look at John 18, 37 and 39. So in these verses, we see Jesus, he's standing before Pilate. And Pilate was the fifth governor of the Roman province of Judea. And he presided over the trial of Jesus. And ultimately, he ordered Jesus' crucifixion. So in verse 37, Pilate says, Jesus, you are king then, said Pilate. And Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate says, what is truth? Right? He's right there with that subjective truth. When he went out again to the Jews gathered there, and he said, I find no basis for a charge against this man. He's innocent, but it's our custom that I will release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? What did the people say? To which the Jews replied, no, release Barabbas. Pilate was even warned. He had people, you know, in his family, his close circle, warn him, hey, you don't want any part of this. Matthew 27:19. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. Anybody know sometimes God speaks to you in dreams? Right? So we need to be listening and attentive to what we're dreaming. Right, Pastor Mike? So Jesus answered the question here in those verses about what is truth. I am the truth, he said. I am the way. And so if you look a little bit further down in John 8:31-35, this is Jesus. And he's talking, he's teaching a group of people. This is before the Pilate incident, shortly before he would be crucified. And some of them were Pharisees, right? Some of them were the religious leaders of the time. They had everything figured out, they thought. And Jesus was telling them who he is. He's revealing to them what his job is, why he's here. He's telling them that he's the Son of God, that he and the Father are one. And verse 31 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know what the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son of God sets you free, you are free indeed. So what is truth? Truth is God. Truth is Jesus. Truth is the Bible, his teachings. Not relative truth, but absolute truth. His teaching, his truth, doesn't depend on a set of circumstances. God's truth is for all people, everywhere, all the time. It is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. No matter what group or division you place yourself in, it applies to you. It has the power to break down strongholds and unite us as one family created in the image of God. The truth is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine, so that we may not perish but have everlasting life. He gave it all to you. What are you willing to give back? So now we say, all right, God, I believe you. I believe Jesus is my Savior. Whew, man, what a relief. I've trusted in him. You know, everything's going to be great. Now it's over. I can just sit back. I can just coast it out. I can wait for eternity. I'm in. But the truth is, God says, oh, no, son. Oh, no, daughter. I've got more for you. You are just getting started. Let's take a look at Ephesians 4:11-16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's Pastor Mike, and kind of got into my sermon a little bit. We need to be mature. We need to be mature. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Not as one part does all its work, but as each part does its work. For many of us, we're missing this. We're staying in the infant stage. We're afraid to speak truth in love. Society tells us that you can't do that. You may know someone is in deep sin, but you have to keep your mouth shut. You got to be a good Christian boy and a girl. You just can't do that. After all, you don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Can I just tell you, that's a cop-out. That's looking for the easy way out. We may not all be titled or credentialed as pastors or preachers, but we are all teachers. And we all have a sphere of influence in our families, in our places of work, and in our schools. And we have a choice to make. We can either let the world influence us, or we can influence the world. Love does not always equal affirmation. Society has replaced truth with lies and love with happiness. If I think what I'm doing is okay, then it's okay. I'm not hurting anybody else. That's my business. If you don't like it, you're being a bigot. You're discriminating, sexist, homophobe, transphobe. You pick the adjective, whatever you want. We justify ourselves not by comparing our actions to biblical truth, but to the norms and standard of the world around us. We seek out groups that also share this new truth. We validate and vindicate each other. We say, hey, it's going to be okay. Come over here. We'll accept you over here. Come on. And guess what? We pull our friends and our family into the lie with us. Hey, if you really love me, you would just want me to be happy, right? It's like what God warns us about back in verse 14. We find ourselves being tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind and teaching. And for what? For the sake of political correctness? To keep everybody happy? This is not God's plan for us. He's calling us to grow, to mature, to seek truth, and to speak truth. So if you were to take your life and kind of do what they call like a 1,000-foot view, 10,000-foot view, where you zoom way out on it and you see yourself as a dot on a map. And on the opposite side of that map, you see a dot that represents God. And you track your journey on that map. Are you getting closer to God? Each day, are you trying your best to learn more, to hear more, to express your love to others? Are you growing stagnant? Are you sitting still? I can certainly say there's been times in my life where I have done that and times where I still do that. But God wants each of us to do our part. We're called to be leaders, but we can't effectively lead people where we're not willing to go. And if we don't know the truth, then how can we share it with anyone else? So I'm going to do a little experiment here. And get you guys standing up, move around a little bit. So I want everybody to stand up exactly where you are in place. All right, got most of you, I think. Now, you cannot cheat. You cannot peek. I want you to close your eyes. Now, with your eyes closed, hands by your side, do not slap anybody. Do not hit anybody beside you. I want you to turn and face north. No peeking. Turn and face north. All right. Okay. All right, I see some people peeking. I'm disqualifying you. Now, where you stand, open your eyes. All right, now, is everybody looking the same direction? No, you're not. Guess what? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. If you're looking this way, you are looking north. Give yourselves a hand. Anybody looking north? All right, you can have a seat. I told you, I heard it. I told you that was it. So, let's roll back the dial. Let's say we roll it back 100 years. If I had asked that same question, how many people do you think would have got it right? Probably most everyone, okay? Because they didn't have one of these in their pocket. They could get them anywhere and everywhere they possibly wanted to go. It doesn't matter if it takes you through that neighborhood that makes no sense at all. If you just keep following it, it will eventually get you there. But on a side note, if you are riding in the vehicle with anybody and when you open your eyes and you were looking north and they were looking dead in your face, you might want to be the navigator for your family, okay? You might want to be the leader. So, all right, so what we've proven here is that everybody doesn't know everything, right? Some people look one way, some people look another. Some people may be confused, but somebody's going to be watching you and looking at you and following where you go. So if you don't know where north is, you can't lead somebody that way. You might lead them south, east. You might lead them into the ocean. Who knows? But guess what? Some of them are, they're just, hey, they're coming right behind you. All they see is your back. Wherever you go, we're going. Oh, yeah, we got it. They just go right on behind, right? So I'm going to do another one. Let me have some kids up here. Let me get a few kids. One, two, three. Who else? Any other kids out there? Come on up here. Four, five. Who's that back there? I can't see. Come on up here. Is that Michael? Come on, Michael. That's enough. Let me drink some water. Make a line right here. All right. So we're going to see, can we follow directions here? We need to make a straight line. Aubrey, you come on this side. Pretty good idea of making a straight line. Michael, you good? You good? All right. You look like you're checking out. You don't know about those lights. The lights are bright, right? Can you see your daddy? Can you see your daddy back there? Wave at him. See back there? Yeah, he's back there. Wave at him. Wave. I said wave. See? I'm following directions. All right, scoot out a little bit. Who you see, Carrie? Where's mama at? I don't know. You can wave anyway. Wave at the audience. Just wave at them all. Everybody give a big wave to the audience. Audience, give our kids a hand right here. We're going to do a little experiment here. Okay, so if you could go anywhere, we got to agree on this. We might need to have a little huddle. I don't know, but we'll see. I'll let you whisper in my ear. If you could go anywhere in the country, where would you go? Aubrey whispered in my ear. This wasn't supposed to be difficult. Kyrie wants to go to the gym.
trampoline park.
All right, so ask them all where they want to go. I got a few randoms in there, but I was really hoping for like a state or, you know, a destination, somewhere that's awesome, somewhere that's hot, somewhere that's warm, somewhere that's sunny, somewhere like, anybody want to guess? Florida, Disney World. We want to go to Florida, okay? Some of them said something different, but you know what I said? I said, no, you don't want to go there. You want to go to Florida, right? And they're like, uh-huh, yeah. Well, yeah, we want to go to Florida. Why do they change their mind? Because they're looking at me. They consider me a leader. I'm bigger. I'm older. Should be wiser. So I can sway them. I can tell them something. I can kind of mold it, make it the way I want it to be. So kids, where are we going? We're going to Florida. Okay, now close your eyes. Close your eyes. We're going to the gym. On the way, well, when we get to Florida, we're going to hit the gym. All right, so kids, close your eyes. No peeking, no cheating, none of that stuff. Anybody know, I'll ask the kids first, what direction from where you're standing is Florida? Is it north, south, east, or west? Anybody take a guess? Wild guess, where is Florida? Nobody? I didn't say spin. I mean, I said where. Listen, are you listening? You got to pick one option. North, south, east, or west. Say one. Say one. West. West, south. What'd you say, Michael? West. Okay, we're going to California. Where are you going? Okay. All right. I take Florida. I take Florida any day. All right, so close your eyes. Close your eyes, Kyrie. Now, face the direction of Florida. Face the direction of Florida. Turn to Florida. Everybody turn to Florida. Freeze, freeze, freeze. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Look around. Look around. I got three people pointed this way. I got one pointed this way, one pointed this way. Actually, I got four. All right, now take a look at each other. Take a look at each other. Which way is Florida? What do you think? Look at everybody else. Look at everybody else. We got more people pointed this way. Don't you think it's this way? You don't. You think it's that way. Guess what? Jackson, you sure you don't want to change your mind? Okay, guess what? Florida is what direction, people? South. South is the opposite of north. South is this way. Okay, good job. Give yourselves a hand and go back and have a seat. Okay, so in our experiment, we've got some kids here that wouldn't have made it to Florida, at least not on their own. They might would have been pumping iron in Washington State, but they wouldn't have been in Florida. But what I'm trying to get at here is, you know, kids, they don't know any better. And they're going to do one of two things most frequently. They're either going to follow their peers or they're going to follow somebody in authority. So we have got to know where we are going so that we can lead our kids behind us. And actually, even though a couple of them were not going the right way, it actually made me a little bit happy that even when they looked around and saw all the other kids mostly pointing one direction, I'll tell you what I was expecting them to do, change their mind, right, and turn and go with the crowd. But they didn't. Some of them are stubborn. They get that honest. At least one does. I don't know. Pretty sure, knowing what I know, yeah, I'm pretty sure the other one got it honest too. So, you know, we got to be able to think for ourselves, okay? Even if we're wrong, you know, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't take a step out in faith, okay? So, it's okay for us to be uncertain. It's okay for us not to know where to go. That just makes us all human, all right? And God understands that. So, if you look back at John 14, 5 and 6, and Jesus, he's talking to the disciples, and he's telling them, hey, I'm leaving soon. You know, I'm going to be out of here. And these guys, What have they been all this time? They're followers. Wherever Jesus is going, they're going. They don't ask questions. You know, they don't make much fuss. They just fall in line. They're coming behind him. Because why? They believe he is their leader. He is their savior. They're going to do what he does. So one of the disciples, Thomas, said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how are we possibly going to get there? How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So even the disciples had doubts. But in the end, all but one accepted the call. They walked out the rest of their days trying to become more and more mature, trying to grow in their faith, leading and teaching others the truth of Jesus. So it's okay to be uncertain. It's okay to need help. Sometimes, you know, we have to get help from those that know more than we do. Because, yes, Miranda, I know I don't know it all. We don't know it all, okay? And sometimes we have to get some help, even if we don't want to. Is anybody still in the diaper phase? Anybody in the diaper phase in the house? There's one that's about to be in the diaper phase. So you got something coming for you, buddy. But we are just outside of the diaper phase. And so when that little kid comes to you, moms and dads will relate to this. If you are a teenager, you know, this is coming down the road for you. This is good birth control right here is what it is. So if you are the dad or the mom, I'll say the dad because that's my perspective, obviously. And here comes, you know, a little kid. They're waddling up to you. The diaper's swinging. It's just swinging down there. And they're, you know, give you that look. Daddy, will you change my diaper? Actually, what is Harper? Harper, how do you say it, baby? You change my da-da or something. I think it's something like that. But I know what she's saying, right? Change my diaper. Now, there is no subjective truth to this. Inside that diaper, there's only going to be one or two things. It's either going to be some pee-pee or some poop-poop. I'm hoping for number one. That's what I'm saying. So I don't have much problem with that. I don't have much problem with the number one. Not an issue. We'll knock that out. But it's that number two. That number two sometimes, it can cause a problem. And it's just like, you know, sometimes it's a really big, big problem. And you're trying to, you know, you're trying to plan ahead. Guys, we, you know, we try to have all the tools we need. I mean, I'm going into battle. I need a whole package of baby wipes. I mean, I don't need two or three. I'm not trying to chintz here. I need a whole bunch. I got to go in there. I need a new diaper. You know, I don't need cloth diapers. We got no room for that, no space for that. I need to be able to get in there, get out, throw that thing away, right? But sometimes I just almost can't handle it, you know, and you're like, you can't. Josh, you don't understand it, but you're going to get this very soon. I mean, it's like you're going to hold your breath, and I'm just saying you got to breathe out of your mouth. If you cannot breathe out of your nose, it's over, okay? You're coming out of there. And so it doesn't even matter sometimes, even mom, you love the babies, but sometimes it's like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? We need some help here. We need somebody with more experience. We need somebody with more knowledge. We got to call in the big guns. We got to get Nanny. Nanny! Nanny, I got something I need you to take care of in here. This is something I ain't never seen before. So we look to people with experience to help us along the way. And Nanny will bang it out. I mean, no question asked. She's coming in. She's getting it done. And it's just like, it's nothing, okay? Because she's been there before. She's seen it before. And she could lead me if I was willing to follow her through that process. Okay? So, don't forget to ask for help. If you're stuck, if you're stumbling, there are people out there that God has placed in your life to help you through whatever situation you might be going to. So, you might be asking me after all this, you might be asking yourself, so, I mean, what does God want from me? What do you want from me? And what does God want from me? Well, I think that God wants us to get in the fight. I think he wants us to protect our families, protect our friends. I think he wants us to guard our children. I think he wants us to show up at those school board meetings, challenge some of the things that our kids are being taught. Like Pastor Anoli said in his message last week, you have a voice. We have a voice, and we need to use it. Well, my kids, they go to private school. Well, I don't even have kids. Well, you know what? You show up anyway. Don't let decisions that affect our kids, our most vulnerable, in a negative way, go unchallenged. Stand on your principles. Stand on what you know is right. Stand on biblical truth. Mom and Dad, hey, you might have to put your foot down. You might have to say no to certain things your kids want to watch on TV, on the internet. Guess what? For many of us, that starts with saying no to ourselves on what we want to watch on TV and on the internet. Because, you know, when you thought that your kids were sleeping, they heard what you were watching. And, you know, when you had that show on the TV, you know, they had to get up and use the bathroom. They walked by the hallway. You heard them coming. You turned it off real quick. They didn't really see anything, right? But they saw it. You say, oh, how do you know that? How do you know they saw it? Because they told me upstairs. You got no secrets from me, people. I get it all. Your kids will tell what they see, okay? And that's not a bad thing. You know why they tell? Because they're learning from you. They might hear something that maybe it doesn't align with what they have seen or been taught, and they'll challenge you on it. They'll ask you, hey, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's okay in my house. It's okay if we do that. So what do we do? What do I do? We point them back to the Bible. We say, hey, you know, maybe that is the case, but the Bible says, you know, whatever the truth is. So we always want to point back to the biblical truth. So what about you? You want to sit down and watch that rated R movie, right? You're grown. Nobody can tell you what to do. Right? Even worse, you got some that will sit down, who's sitting right beside them, their kid, their child, watching that same thing. It doesn't make you cool. Not at all. Oh, you say, oh, man, I don't know. We never do that. We don't know what you're talking about. But you know what I'm talking about. So God wants us to get off the couch, get out from in front of the TV, and get in the fight. Don't be afraid to pray at your school or at work. Sometimes we can speak volumes just by our actions. We don't have to make a scene. We can sit at our table and we can pray. We can sit at our work and we can pray. And guess what? Somebody's watching. Somebody's seeing that. Somebody's scratching their head wondering, what in the world is he doing? Doesn't he know he's not supposed to be doing that here? Pray at school. Pray at your work. Pray for people at work. You know, I've been through some challenging times in my life, and to be honest with you, work, sometimes when you're in those types of situations, is almost like an escape. You know, when you go to work, at least for guys. I don't know if girls are really this way, but you can kind of shut a door and you focus, you know, and you're into the job. And we can overlook, you know, struggles and challenges that people are a part of or caught up in around us. But during some of the hardest times, hardest struggles in my life, there were people at my workplace that knew something wasn't right, and they asked, and they helped pull me through. And guess where they pointed me? They didn't point me to their truth or somebody else's truth. They didn't say, oh, hey, everybody goes through that, and, you know, you just move on to the next one or whatever it is. They pointed me to the Bible, okay? So you can be an influence wherever you are. Build a relationship with somebody. You know, that way, if something is going wrong, you can recognize it, you can tell it, and you can let God use you, you know, to work a miracle in their life. Listen, you don't have to take this book and bang somebody over the head with it, okay? So sometimes we get caught up in that, like, you know, we just need to smack them on the head because they are not doing the right thing. You know, there is a time for that in my mind. You know, we got grandmas out there, grandpas, spiritual elders. If you feel like somebody needs a whack on the head and you are mature and you know that something is just not right, go on and whack them because they might need that, okay, to knock a little bit of sense into them. You know, they might need somebody to say, hey, boy, nah, we're not going down that road. We're not doing that here. But there are people that are hurting and people that have been through things, and you've been through things, and God has pulled you through things. So share your story, you know. Then you can connect with someone on a different level, and you can more easily share your faith. You say, whoa, now you've gone too far now. You know, I got skeletons in my closet. I got things nobody else don't know. I can't talk about those things. I don't want to share my story. I got a reputation to protect. So what's more important, your reputation or somebody else's soul? Speak the truth. Get in the fight. You know, for us in this country, we've been given a great gift. We get to choose our leadership. So if you are a citizen of this country or another country that allows you to vote. Let your voice be heard. That's one of the ways that you can do it. And the enemy's put this big lie out. I heard it just this past week. Somebody said it to me. And they're like, there's got to be a separation between church and state. The church can't be going out getting involved in these political things. But the true concept, at least the way I understand it, someone can challenge me, maybe you know better. But the true concept was never to keep people, the church, which is made of people, out of government positions. It was to keep the government from being able to say, hey, this country is only going to allow this religion. And if you don't support this religion, then you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be locked up. You can't do it. So it was about maintaining freedom, not separating out people of faith from public service or public works. So if you think that you can separate a person's faith from their politics, you know, I don't know that that's possible. And there's a quote here that I found. This is from Albert Einstein. And it says, those who believe that politics and religion do not mix understand neither. So it's my thought that if you are an actual believer, then your beliefs, your moral values, your moral compass is going to guide and direct the decisions that you make. So if we have the ability to put people in place to govern our country, to set standards for what's being taught to our kids, you know, to be the representatives of us to this nation and other nations, why would we not fill that bubble in besides somebody's name that has biblical values, that supports biblical values? We need to forget about all the division. Forget about, oh, I want to vote for somebody because of their race, their gender. Are they Democrat? Are they Republican? Are they right wing, left wing? You know, we need to do a little bit of research. Forget all the division. Put your mark beside somebody that supports and upholds biblical values. And you know what? I firmly believe this. If we would do that as the church, there are things in this nation that we are facing that we would never have had to face right now. Amen? Amen. So get in the fight. Maybe it means for some of us, hey, maybe we run for office. Maybe we run for school board. Maybe at our workplace, we make it our mission, our point to set ourselves apart, okay? Maybe we're flipping burgers. Hey, we're going to make the absolute best burger that you've ever had. We're going to stop complaining about the next guy or the next shift. You know, at my place of work, there are rotating shifts, day shift, night shift. You work 12-hour days. I actually now I'm on a straight day job, so I see every shift come through. Guess what? Every shift says, doesn't matter which one, about the last shift. Man, they don't do nothing. That shift don't do nothing. Every time we come in, we gotta do everything they didn't do, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So our perception that we have, a lot of us anyway, is, you know, work is a chore. I don't want to do much at work. I just want to go, I want to get paid, and I want to come home, okay? And so if I feel like the next guy is cheating me, then it just builds up inside, right? And I get mad, I get aggravated, I get all that. But, you know, that's not how we should be viewing work if we're Christians, okay? We should be thanking God. Hey, God, thank you for this job. Thank you for this provision that it provides for me and for my family. You know, work hard, accept accountability for your actions. If you are sitting at work spending half of your day on YouTube and you get called out for it, don't act surprised. I mean, you're asking for it. But see, we don't want to do that. We want to say, well, I saw that guy do it. Why can't I do it, right? We know what is right. We know the rules. We should be trying to adhere to those rules, and we should be trying to do our very best for our employer, no matter who it is, no matter who it is. If we don't like our job, you can always look for another job, but while you're doing the job you are doing, do it to the best of your ability. You know why? Because when that other coworker, you know the other guy who doesn't do anything, when he sees you doing something, you know what's going to happen inside of him? He's going to say, uh-oh, I got to step up my game. I got to stop watching YouTube because Bobby's over there. He's getting it done. And he knows people in charge, they're going to see Bobby. And what's Bobby going to do? He ain't going to be flipping burgers for too much longer. He's going to be making his way on up, right, because he's being a conscious, good employee for his employer. So get in the fight. Be in prayer. Be actively reading the word. Obey the truth. Praise team, you can come back up, please, if you don't mind. Maybe you say, well, you know what? I don't want to go to battle. I don't like to fight. I just want to sit back, see how it all works out. I'm just going to look out for who? I'm just going to look out for me. But can I tell you something? You were built for this. You were uniquely designed to be alive on this earth at this time, right now. Because there is something and someone out there that only you can reach. God has a design and a plan for you. And if you sit on the sidelines, you don't want to get in a fight, you're going to miss that. And we know the battle's already won. We know that victory is ours. But we should be trying to bring absolutely as many people with us in that victory as we can. The truth is, we are called to be the salt and the light. The truth is, we are all called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Not just the guy standing here, not just the people standing back here, but all of us. And he hasn't sent us into battle empty-handed. He's given us a full suit of armor. He's given us the best tools and equipment that we can possibly have. And one of those pieces of armor is the belt of truth. Holds everything up, keeps everything in its right place. You know, if you didn't have that belt and you were running into battle and your pants fell down around your ankles, you couldn't do much fighting. You're going to be laying on the ground spinning circles while the battle's going on. So we need to keep that belt close, keep it tight. We need to believe that we can make a difference in this world, because we can. We need to believe that this is the truth. And if somebody is not lining up with this truth, we need to speak the truth to them in love. We need to be willing to go to places where no one wants to go and pull people out. We need to be willing to go to places we've already been and pull people out. We need to go throughout this world and speak truth in love. And why do we need to do it? Because the truth sets us free. Amen. So I'm going to do an altar call here, and I'm going to kind of do maybe a 2 or 3 part call. But the first piece of it, ministry team, if you guys want to come forward, you can. If there's anybody in the house who you say, you know what, I don't know Jesus. You know, I've been sitting in the pew, I've been sitting at home, watching online, whatever it is. I know something's missing. I feel something on the inside saying something just isn't right. But I don't know him, and I want to. If that's you this morning, you want to accept Jesus today, he's waiting for you. He's willing to meet you wherever you are. Doesn't matter. If you're in the house, you can come forward. Somebody will pray for you. If you're online, you can bow your head. Wherever you are, say, Jesus, I trust you. I believe in you. I believe you are my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I want to confess my sins. I know I'm not living right. Today I'm going to change. Today I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to turn to the truth. Today I'm going to get in the fight. If that's anybody out there, I want you to come forward. The second piece of this, I'm going to say, if you're out there and you say, you know Jesus, you believe you're saved, you are saved, you're going to heaven. But you've been sitting on the back seat. You know you could do more. You know there's people out there that you could touch. There's people out there that you could bring with you on Sunday. There's people out there that you know, because you know they need the truth. But but you're afraid and you want courage. You don't think you can go ask them. If you need boldness, if you need courage, and you want to grow in your spiritual maturity to be the Christian that God wants you to be, I want you to come forward. Anybody out there? Anybody wants to grow? Anybody wants to get deeper relationship, more knowledge? Whatever it is, come forward. Amen. Amen. The last part of this, I'm going to say, if you are a mature Christian, you know, you've done the legwork, you've done the studying, you've been through some things, and you say, God, you know, maybe you're a little bit older, maybe you don't get out as much. You say, God, you know what? I feel like I've got something to offer somebody. I want you to bring somebody into my life that I can influence. Bring somebody into my life that I can tell the truth to. If that's you, I want you to come forward. And I believe that God is going to find a way to put somebody in your life. You might meet them at, you know, you might meet them at Walmart. You might meet them gas pump. Who knows? Might be at work, wherever it is. But God's going to put somebody in your life, and you're going to know that's the one. That's the one I'm supposed to be going after right there. And you're going to reach out to them, and you're going to spread love. You're going to spread truth to them. So if that's you, I want you to come forward. Worship team, if you'll do, speak Jesus for us.
Thank you.
give God praise. For anybody that was wondering, today Pastor Wallace is at Upper Room Assembly. He's preaching their 20th anniversary service. He will be back with us next week. I know you guys miss him. We all miss him. He will be back next week. Don't forget, this afternoon, we've got the Fall Festival happening from 4 to 6. If you are involved in that, please come a little bit early so we get everything set up and we're ready to go at 4. If you are not involved, hey, find a kid, find somebody in your family, bring them out, fill your car up. We're going to have an awesome time. We're going to, you know, have some games, some candy, and we're going to send them away with the word of Jesus. Amen. So have a great day. Have a blessed day. And love you guys. Thank you.